Open your King James Bible, please, today to 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1, and today we'll have our study number 4. This lesson or this study will be entitled 1 John Study Number 04, - From the Beginning. And before we start, let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, Lord, for the revealed word of God to our hearts. Use us in the mighty way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in 1 John chapter number 1, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." Now, in our last study, which was study number 3, we gave some facts about a John or the Apostle John. In this lesson, or this study, which we call study number 4, we will continue on with a few more facts about this Apostle John. Then we'll begin with chapter 1, with a verse-by-verse study of the book. John does not mention his own name in his writings of the 5 books except in the book of Revelation. That's the only one he mentions his name in. John followed Jesus very, very closely. We have already said in our last lesson, number 3, that John actually followed Jesus closer than any of the other disciples. Matter of fact, John is the only one recorded to be at the foot of the cross while Christ was being crucified. The closer they came, or the disciples came, to Calvary, the smaller the crowd became. The other disciples were not there. We don't have a record of them being at the foot of the cross. They may have been in the distance, but they're certainly not in a close range of the cross. The closer we follow Jesus, the more we will become like Jesus. The farther we get from Him and away from Him, the colder spiritually we become, and we'll be less like the Lamb of God as we get further away. We should strive and we should work on getting closer to the Lord every passing day of our life. Our mind should be the mind of Christ. Our heart should be the heart of Christ. John is our example here of how we should pattern our lives after Christ and how to follow after Christ. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul classified James, Cephas, or Cephas is Peter, and John as pillars. In Galatians 2:9, the Bible said, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Now, we can build on pillars. These men are classified as pillars. We will not go wrong trying to pattern our lives or build our lives after these 3 men. Build our life upon their lives. We should study after these 3 men. Everything we could get our hands on, we ought to study it and glean from their lives. Then we should apply it to ours. We should see their righteous aspects as well as their faults and their failures. We should strive to build on their good character and strive to improve on it in our lives as much as possible. We should note their weaknesses and look at those weaknesses and examine those weaknesses and faults and failures and try to steer away from them and avoid those weaknesses. This would be a big help to us and a great help to us if we'd just learn to do that. Many are building their lives on men today who are liberal, who are compromising, and who are weak in the faith instead of these men, Peter, James, and John. And now these have set a good example for us, and we ought to look after them. As a young man just starting off preaching, I remember looking at men who I admired and tried to pattern my ministry after them. I would try to preach like they preached and pick out what they did and have a lifestyle and a preaching style like they did. The sad fact is that I picked up their bad habits. And, I picked up the things, the way they moved, the way they spoke, the way they performed in their pulpit and how that they, you know, had their mannerisms. Matter of fact, I followed one preacher's, he was always preaching with his eyes closed. And after I nearly fell a time or two, I learned that wasn't for me. Now, I look at this today and find out that these men have some good godly habits, and they demonstrated their preaching in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. And that's what we ought to pattern our life after. Now, John started off as a young man. He is a young age. At a young age, he lived as he ought to live for the Lord. But he also is the one who died, the only one that we have record of, that died a natural death as an old man. Amen. He's the only one, according to history, that did that. He lived a good, godly life for the Lord. And we should desire to have a life like old John did. Amen. Now, we'll look at the early years of the Apostle John here. In Mark chapter 3, and verse number 17, James and John are called the sons of thunder. Notice that. The sons of thunder. They had stormy tempers in their early years, you know, in their early days. In Luke, James and John were ready to send fire on those who did not receive the Lord Jesus, and the Lord had to rebuke them. They were quick to judgment. Amen. Reminds me of myself sometimes. And probably you are reminded of yourself by the same thing. Luke chapter 9, verse 54 and 56 says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." Now, if you and I are not careful, we'll have the same attitude as they had, and we'll be quick to judgment like they were. Many times we look at the problem and not the problem solver in these days. God help us to be a help to those who we do not agree with. I tell you, I pray God help me with that little problem. We're not to compromise with sin. We're not to agree with sin. But we need to remember that if it had not been for the grace of God in our lives, there's no telling what we would be doing or where we would even be at this particular moment in our life. Thank God for His grace. I'm afraid it could be said of us sometimes, like He said of these, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." As the Lord said to James and John here, He could say it to you and me as well. Now, in the book of Mark, John forbade a man or stopped him from casting out devils, and the Lord had to instruct him on the proper way of doing things. He was intolerant of fellow laborers. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 40, the Bible said, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." Now, if we're not careful, we'll catch ourselves doing exactly like they did here. And we'll be doing the same thing. God help us today to have the mind and the life of Christ. In Mark chapter number 10, James and John were selfish as to what they wanted and their desires and their wants. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 38, the Bible said, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant us that we may sit, one on the right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" John was taught at the feet of Jesus. And when we get to the books of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, in the book of Revelation, we'll find that he had seasoned out a little bit. Even though he had sat at the feet of the greatest teacher, and for them 3.5 years of ministry on the earth, I'll guarantee you he had mellowed and matured and got the place. He had some good compassion. Now this John is the pen man of the epistle of 1 John. Now I want to start a verse-by-verse study in chapter number 1. Now I'll read that verse 1 again. The Bible said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life." John gives no introduction to this book. You won't find one there. He just starts with the message. He immediately points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Christ all the way in verse number 1. We need to see Him, and we need to meditate upon Him. And I want to give you 6 statements. We done read them a couple of times already, but there's 6 statements in this verse. Break it down. I like to go by the punctuation. The first one is that which was from the beginning. There's a comma after that. The second one is which we have heard. The third is which we have seen with our eyes, and is separated with a comma like the other one was. Which we have looked upon, and there's a comma after that upon, and our hands have handled. And number 6, of the Word of Life. Now John calls him the Word of Life in this first verse. Each writer has their own themes in their writings. Paul majors on faith in all his writings. Peter has the theme of hope in his writings. James has the theme of works after salvation in his writings. And John here has the theme of life and love in his writings. Bear this in mind. While we study this book, it'll help you. It'll help us to understand. In this first verse, Christ is highly, highly, highly exalted. He's called the Word of Life. And He is described by 5 different statements separated by a comma after each one of these that I just pointed out. I like to study the Scriptures by the punctuation marks that are recorded in the Word of God. That's been a big help to me down through the years. Seeing how that God has broken it up and how He's allowed man to put the punctuation to get it. Now, the first verse starts off with the Word of Life revealed. He reveals the Word of Life in chapter number 1 and verse number 1. John starts off with the phrase, "That which was from the beginning." This is pointed to Jesus Christ as the Eternal One, as the Evident One, as the Almighty One, as the Eternal Creator, if you will. John lets us know Jesus is the Everlasting God here. He's the Timeless One. Notice the order John is about to give us. First of all, He heard. Second, He saw. And then third, His eyes looked upon Him. And fourth, His hands handled Him. So you see what happened. Now let's just kind of break that down just for a minute. First, He heard. Now, you know what the Bible says? The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We must hear. One day I was an old sinner on my way to hell, lost and undone without God, didn't realize I was lost and undone, and had I not heard the preaching of the Word of God by the man of God, brother, I would have never known I was lost, and I'd have never known I was on my way to hell. Now, if you're born again today, you heard the Word of God somewhere. Heard it through the gospel being preached to you, talked to you through a Sunday school teacher, talked to you by your mother, your father, your grandparents, somebody. Or somebody gave you a gospel tract, or a friend of yours that introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you heard without hearing. You cannot and will not have eternal life. I'll read it again. Romans 10:17 said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." John said, "Which we have heard." Amen. Which we have heard. I like that. He heard. And I like it too. Praise God. I want you to know, we have heard. Now the second thing He done is He saw. Now we look at we must see. Now you say, well, we can't see Christ. Oh yes, we can by the eye of faith. You see, there are two things you need to see when you're lost, and that is you need to see yourself as a sinner on your way to hell, and you need to see a Christ who died for you on the cross of Calvary. My time is gone, and it's been quick, and I thank God for the privilege of being able to give you a few things from the Word of God. We'll pick back up right here at this particular point and go on in our next lesson. I trust this lesson number 3 here has been a blessing to you. I trust that it's been a big help and an encouragement and a strength to your soul. And may God bless you till we come back to you again. Amen.